We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Okay, I've been promoting this either on social media or here on the radio since about this time yesterday, because I think it's going to be a worthwhile couple of segments for everybody to tune into and listen, because it has to do with this $2 trillion coming off of the $1.9 trillion. I know, trillion, more trillion, and more trillion. Who's keeping track, right? But the bottom line is, I don't think we really have any other choice in this country. We have to spend money to make money, and we've got to put money into the hands of working class people. But it's a money tree that the branches are long, and a lot of people, a lot of good, working, honest people are going to benefit from it. And I thought I would bring in longtime member of the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters, now kind of semi-retired, but still out there on their behalf, and union laborers, men and women everywhere. He joins me on the DISC Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline, Rick Okrzyszewski, affectionately known as Ricky O. Rick, how are you? And happy holiday weekend, sir.
Great, Rob. Thanks a lot. And thanks for having me on. Even though I'm retired, I can still talk, and I still do have thoughts. I do.
Yeah.
Still think about people as you do, you know. And I really appreciate the time. And retirement is wonderful, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, the pressures of the daily tasks are not quite as much. And, you know, you spend a little more time on, you know, your home and your home life. And it's nice. It's a nice piece. But you still do miss a little bit of this. You know, you and I have done this a lot of times, and I miss it. And it's nice to be back on it. I appreciate you asking me.
Yeah, well, I think it's important because you really enlighten me in a conversation. And, you know, we talk and chat from time to time. And I thought, you know, people need to understand that there is much more involved here than just that infrastructure. Because people, when they think infrastructure, they think roads, bridges, and they think, you know, contractors, they think construction workers, union workers, but so many more people involved. So why don't you kind of roll out the red carpet a little bit? And first off, talk about the $2 trillion infrastructure that the president came to Pittsburgh to talk about, because he understands working class people and how this is going to benefit a lot more people than many people may even understand. So go ahead, Ricky O.
Well, thank you. And you know, it's true. You know, there's many theories on how money should be put into the economy to fuel the economy. But, you know, how much better is it than to put it right to where it will go to work? And, you know, one of the things that we have always used whenever we talk about construction is a lot of people think, okay, they see the trades, they see construction workers, okay, that's where all this money's going, you know, what the heck's going on? Well, in all honesty with you, it's about a one-third piece of that money that goes towards the actual trades or the actual physical part of doing the project. There's a tremendous amount of support on the backside of that are, i.e., professionals that people don't really realize. You have engineers, architects, you have site development and site acquisition. You know, you have, you know, all those kind of things that you have attorneys and accountants and people that draw up all the contracts and do all those kind of things. That's a lot of people behind the scenes that's supporting the tradesperson out there. So if you think about this, for every tradesperson, there's two people doing something behind the scenes that's supporting that work. Now, that's just the generalization, but we've always sort of lived by that. We realize that this goes much deeper. And then think about this. You know, there was mention of manufacturing. Well, think of all the components that it takes to do either maintenance or new structures or additions to structures. And all those parts, pieces, components, they have to be manufactured someplace, and then they're put into play. So, you know, all that trickle down is truly trickle down. When you put the money right to work like that, you do it. I heard somebody mention the other day that these projects, you know, they call them shovel ready. Well, you know what? They're shovel ready to the person that's doing the design. You know, somebody that's designing, engineering, starting to build the products that are needed. You know, that stuff's ready to go. It might not be shovel ready for the carpenters or the electricians or the iron workers or somebody to pull right in there right away, but that comes. And, you know, if you take a look at Shell, now that's private development, but there was a whole lot of infrastructure work that went on to allow that private development to work. So whether it's private development or it's going to be the thrust of infrastructure work, which we need dramatically in this country, then it's gonna go right to the workforce, which is then going to turn right back around and come right into the economy. And I just feel passionate that this is the right thing to do for our country, not just because we need it right now, but we've needed it for a long, long time, and we need it for the future. And I think it's extremely important to head down this path. And, you know, I'm not that skeptical. I really feel that the money will be put to use in the right places. That money will be then put into the hands of average citizens across this country that will do average things, buying cars, buying washing machines and dryers and doing all that. And if we can get all that stuff made back in America, which I think is a big thrust to this, that's huge for this country, huge as an economic boom. And so that's, you know, that's my first stump, you know, as we talk.
No, it's all good. But when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, had a great caller who's talked about training, and we need to really train people. And one of the things that I know firsthand, because I've been there, what the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters are doing, no stone left unturned. They are really training people to do the job. So we're going to talk about that. But I think people need to understand lawyers and contracts and blueprints and architecture, the people that sell the building materials, the rail, the barge traffic, the 18-wheelers, the Teamsters, the truck drivers, the steel industry, the coal industry, the nuclear energy industry, the natural gas industry, wind power, solar power. It really goes on forever, and everybody's going to get a reasonable slice of this pie. Is that not correct?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. If you think about this, our locks and dams are in disrepair, and they need fixed. Who uses locks and dams? Commerce, moving things up and down that river. And, you know, so at the end of the day, I think the right thing is to do exactly what's proposed. You know, work with our businesses and corporations. We, you know, if a business is surviving, so does labor. And we want that to happen. But at the end of the day, the way that business operates, the money is there on that side to put back into that infrastructure and to make things go. And the better the infrastructure is oiled, the more money the business will make, and the more money that will be able to be made by average the average workforce. So roads, like you said, roads, the locks and dams, the railroads, you know, tunnels, getting through these tunnels. Think about what happens when a tunnel shuts down and what kind of commerce that stops. So at the end of the day, all these things need to be taken care of in order to keep commerce moving. If commerce moves, things are built and made and bought.
All right, hold that thought. We'll come back. We'll do another segment. Rick Okruszewski here talking about the $2 trillion stimulus money, the Build Back Better program the president was on the stump here in Pittsburgh talking about on Wednesday. 11:15. All right, here we go, folks. Wrapping it up with Rick Okruszewski. One more segment. Then Marty will be here with an interview that I think you're going to want to hear. It's all about your health. And then, of course, we'll wrap up the hour. Let me get back to Rick Okruszewski, of course, Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters. Talk about the training aspect of what you all do at the Carpenters Union and why you do everything to prepare someone for that journey of a lifelong job that is in the carpentry industry. Go ahead, Rick.
Sure, Rob. Thank you. And I'd like to expand on just the trade. You know, the trades have great apprenticeship programs do not cost. There's no tuition there. But let's start at the beginning. You know, I was the apprenticeship director for many years, but for apprentices to come to us, they are often funneled to us through workforce investment boards or workforce development boards. I was on the workforce development board for Greene, Washington, and Beaver County for quite a few years, and that helps to support and funnel people. There are apprenticeship readiness programs out there that will fund to some level in order to teach people ways to go or where they can go and do things. And there are reentry programs. I heard a young lady talking about somebody that had some baggage with them from coming out of incarceration. And there are groups out there for reentry that can help those people find their way as well. And that's important. And just think of the money that saves whenever you have somebody that's back in the workforce. That's huge. And so the apprenticeships do a great job of putting people to work. And when you have these these jobs like this, this infrastructure. You just don't create a iron worker or a carpenter or a steam fitter overnight. These things take time to develop. We have skills that a lot of people don't understand what we have. This isn't somebody working on the weekend in their basement. These are people that are out there building big buildings or doing infrastructure like locks and dams or bridges or tunnels or roadways. And you don't learn that in 5 minutes. That takes time. And that's why these apprenticeship programs are so valuable. And then not only are they valuable, then when you come out on the other side of that, you have a family sustainable job and you're making a good wage in order to, you know, you and I were just talking about retirement. You know, my God, I would have never been able to save some money for my retirement over the years. I'm still just making it. I've taken a huge pay cut in retirement, but I do have a dignified retirement. So the apprenticeships not only teach the apprentice how to do the work, and let me throw another thing out there that a lot of people don't realize. You want to talk about a fair level playing field of wages? That's where it is. If you are a journey person carpenter, it doesn't matter who you are or what gender you are or who you are, you're going to get paid that wage. There isn't a disparity in wages that is unfair. And that is throughout the trades like that. And so when somebody is working, you know they're getting a fair shake and they're able to get out there and support their families. And that's so doggone important in this day and age whenever we're trying to make it through life and through all these troubles and trials and tribulations. So in other words, I think we're on the right track. I think that the education is there. That structure is there. Those support groups are there. But with a little more money, we can reach a little deeper into the communities and explain a little more what the opportunities are. And so, you know, I think this whole piece of infrastructure goes very deep, and it goes into transportation, manufacturing, goes into elderly care, goes into so many things, schools, housing, you name it, clean water. You know, it's going to be a huge boon for us to be able to get moving and be able to put the support into the communities that we need. This money is like an infusion right to where it belongs. It doesn't have to hope that it goes somewhere. You know, that's an interesting thing on education and workforce development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you start developing people to go into a business or an occupation that they're able to work in, you're not just developing a workforce and then hoping for the work. With this scenario right here, you know the work's out in front of you. So you develop the workforce and you put them to work, and then they then fuel the economy. And at the end of the day, that's as quick as you can infuse money and work into or things to go into economy, as far as I'm concerned. Now, we can have tons of discussion with economists all over the place. I've been listening, but I'm sorry. If somebody pays me, then I buy something. It's that simple. And when I buy it, I'm helping someone else work.
All right.
So at the end of the day, it's you. So I'm sorry.
No. I wanted to let you get it all out because you're much more versed on this topic than I am because you were part of that workforce for decades. And I've got 1 minute left, and I'll ask you, Ricky O. I believe we had no other choice to do this, especially on the heels of the pandemic, where there's going to be a lot of work and the infrastructure has to be better, and we've been putting it off long enough. This has to be done. You agree or disagree?
Absolutely. I want anybody to ride around and take a look at the railroad bridges and take a look at the train tracks and see how much disrepair there is because the money's just not there to do it. Start taking a look at the things that need repaired, our bridges, our roadways, and the things that need fixed. And at the end of the day, if we allow them to fail, we're gonna let our economy fail, and we're going to let business fail and let commerce fail. And we can't do that. We have to make sure that all that stuff is in place in good working order.
All right. I don't think I've ever heard you so spot on. Definitely you mapped that out. You were great. You did a good job today.
Thank you so much. And we appreciate you giving us the time to come on. And it's always great talking with you. And again, try to have an optimistic attitude and help everybody. That's what the goal is.
All right, Rick. Listen, enjoy your weekend with the family, okay?
Thanks, brother. You too.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.